Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is a story about a story. It's a story about a ghost story, to be specific, the story of the Aquinnah Bay Lighthouse ghost, which you have probably heard. It just won't be laid to rest. The Haunted Light is a fictional story written by Joaquin Miller's sister, Lishan, in 1899, and it has taken on a life of its own. In fact, by bringing so much attention and interest to the lighthouse it was about, the story might have actually saved it from the wrecking ball. This story was first published way back in December 27th of 2009. Here we go. A good ghost story depends for its life on the possibility, faint or imaginary though it may be, that it might be true. So it's ironic that the Oregon coast's most well-known ghost story should be an avowed work of fiction. But is it really? Well, yes, of course it is. But there are actually some people who aren't fully convinced. The story started out as a fictional short story published in an 1899 issue of Pacific Monthly magazine. It was penned by the sister-in-law of poet Joaquin Miller, Lishan M. Miller of Eugene. The story was titled The Haunted Light at Newport by the Sea. In it, Miller wove a gripping story of a mysterious young woman left at a Newport hotel by her seafaring father, who plans to pick her up in 2 weeks. She takes up with a group of tourists from the valley who are camping nearby. One day, the group of them decides to explore the old Aquinnah Bay Lighthouse, a small structure built in an unfortunate spot in 1871 and shut down for good just 3 years later to be replaced by the Aquinnah Head Lighthouse a few miles north. Inside, the adventurers find a secret door leading to a shaft that apparently runs all the way down to the sea. A chill fog moves in, and the explorers decide to go, leaving the secret door open behind them. As she is about to leave, the girl, the author gives her name as Muriel Trevenard, realizes she has left her handkerchief in the lighthouse and goes back to get it. Shortly thereafter, screams are heard. The party races back to the house and finds the secret door closed and locked and no sign of Muriel save for a pool of warm blood. The original of this story is a beautiful piece of 19th century writing and is well worth the 10 minutes it takes to read. You can find it pretty easily with a Google search. The original 1899 publication is available through Google Books because, of course, it's in the public domain. But the really interesting thing about this story is the life it's taken on since it was written. Visitors to the lighthouse still ask to see Muriel's bloodstains on the floor. Condensed versions of the story can be found on paper placemats at Lincoln County restaurants, and reprinted copies of the story are hot items at area tourist traps. Often, when people learn that it's from an 1899 magazine article, its credibility is enhanced rather than reduced. Monthly fiction magazines are mostly so far in the past that most people don't remember them, and modern magazines, even literary ones such as The New Yorker, are mostly nonfiction. Indeed, there are lingering doubts among some as to the truthfulness of the story's falseness, if you will. This is probably a sort of reverse psychology wishful thinking. A story this compelling and realistic would be much more powerful if it were possible to believe that there's some possibility, however faint, of it being true. Susan Smitten cites a 1975 article in the Eugene Register Guard in which Lincoln County Historical Museum curator Pat Stone says a young hitchhiker came through looking for work. Having nowhere to stay and no money to rent a room, he unrolled a sleeping bag at the lighthouse. That night, he said, a ghostly young woman appeared floating outside one of the windows. She told him not to worry, that he would find work the next day, and so he did. Well, whatever the truth, the living and the dead alike owe a debt of gratitude to the citizens of Lincoln County, who in the 1940s formed the Lincoln County Historical Society specifically to prevent this lighthouse from being demolished, and who, with the help of Ohio industrialist and Oregon native son L.E. Warford, raised the money to do so. Would that have happened if Miller's story had not made the lighthouse famous and invested it with the romantic, thrilling aura of her mysterious tale? Perhaps not. Today, restored to its former glory, it's a state park. It's also the oldest structure in Newport and the only wooden lighthouse in Oregon. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.